Humor.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Taking It to the Streets for this Monday, March the 7th, 2022. Now, of course, it's me, your girl, Apostle, a.k.a. Bishop Shalene Cook, and I just want to welcome you all to this evening's program. But before we begin, let us have a word of prayer. Most gracious and heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, asking that I decrease, Lord Jesus, so that you might increase. Lord, step into this body of clay and speak to your children directly to their hearts, Lord, in a way that your spirit will convict them, Lord, hallelujah, of their need for you. So, Lord God, I just want to praise you for this opportunity. I want to give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. And, Lord, if there is someone that doesn't know you in the pardon of their sin, I pray that today would be the day that they would decide, hallelujah, to make you their Lord and their Savior. It is in Jesus' holy and righteous name I do pray. Amen and amen. Well, saints of God, it has really been concerning me. As I look around at the condition that I see on the face of this earth today. And in this time, we hear so many professed Christians, you know, quoting 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves,
yes,
turn from their wicked ways and seek my face.
Yes,
hallelujah. He said, then I will forgive them of their sin and I will heal the land. Well, as I look around at the condition of the world today, I can only think to myself, why aren't we seeing the miracles of God that we, as we've seen in the Church of Acts, and why aren't we seeing more people being delivered, and why aren't we seeing more people that have professed Christ declaring his goodness instead of complaining about the conditions of the world? So I have decided to break down everything that I believe is keeping us from truly seeing miraculous change in this world. Now, the last several weeks, we have looked at our conviction. Are we truly convicted by the Word of God? So, and tonight's question is along those same lines, because the question that I'm asking all of us to consider tonight is, how in tune are we to the Holy Spirit? For you see, the Holy Spirit is a beautiful and powerful part of who God is. He is actually the third person of our triune God. He was there with God the Father and God the Son when God the Father said, let us make man in our image. And it was the Holy Spirit that was brooding over the earth in Genesis 1 and 2, where we see these words. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the water. And in verse 3, we see the Spirit of God obey the word of God when God said, let there be light. And there was light. And we, as blood-washed believers, need the Holy Spirit in our life as a conduit to become who God created us to be. And through his power, we will have help in all situations. But, saints, without him, we are truly powerless. Now, our first encounter with the Holy Spirit is when he convicts us of our sin and shows us that none of us, and I do mean none of us, can live up to the righteousness of Jesus. And then he reveals to us the judgment that is coming to those who die without a Savior. John 16:8-11 says, hallelujah, and I will be reading from the King James Version, saints. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Hallelujah. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. So as we confess our sin and repent or turn away from our sins, we receive the gift of salvation, and the Holy Spirit regenerates our dead inner human man, spirit, which now will be regenerated, and it becomes sensitive to the spiritual things of God. Look what it says in the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 16. And saints of God, if you don't have a pen and a pad, you need to get one, because we are going to go through scripture precept upon precept. Okay? So, John 3, 1 through 16. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Hallelujah. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it list, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell from where it's coming and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do not know, and testify that we have seen, and yet receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, hallelujah, and you don't, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Hallelujah. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. And in Acts 2:38, we see these words. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, oops, there it is, right there. Yeah. But there is still a second work that the Holy Spirit performs when he baptizes a believer, and that is found in Acts, in the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. And the word of the Lord reads as follows. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from the heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Glory to God. And I need for you to know and understand, saints of God, that this is not just available to the apostle, the preacher, the evangelist, or the teacher. It's available to all, as declared in Acts 2:39, where it says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." You see, the Holy Spirit gives us the gift of empowerment, which helps us to live a holy life. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, our parakletos, our teacher, our helper, we become more like Jesus, and we are directed to do the Father's will. Furthermore, the gift is primarily for the empowerment to witness to other people.
Amen.
We are encouraged to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us up on a regular basis. You see, when we feel depleted or we feel in need of strength, we can ask God to replenish us, as it declares in Ephesians 5 and 18, where it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, it's not enough to exist with the belief that the Father and Son are first and the Holy Spirit is secondary. Oh, no. Mm-mm. They are three equal parts, and they work in harmony with each other. The uniqueness about the Holy Spirit is that his presence resides within us. You have often heard me say, we praise God for being our Heavenly Father, and we thank him for loving us enough to send his darling son, his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on that cross for your sins and mine. But while we yet live, it is our responsibility. It is necessary, hallelujah, to find ourselves in the presence of the Holy Spirit in all things and at all times. Because yeah. Jesus said before he ascended to heaven that the Holy Spirit would come and dwell within us as a believer. And with that, he empowers us to live victoriously for the cause of Christ and glory of the Father. Yeah. You know, saints, I know a lot of people, because I am convicted by the word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I believe what the word of God says, and I trust God to do exactly what he says. So yeah. When I approach a situation, I'm not going up to the Lord saying, "Oh, Lord, I pray that you will help me to be victorious." No. I'm coming from a place of victory. I'm not running for the victory. I'm coming from a place of victory, because as long as I'm standing in Christ Jesus, by the power of his Holy Spirit, I already have the victory. I don't have to worry. I don't have to complain. I don't have to fret. I don't have to do any of that. All I have to do is trust God by the power of his Spirit. Now, I'm going to share 10, just 10, of the supernatural ways that the Holy Spirit wants to empower each and every one of us today. First of all, as I've said, the Holy Spirit is our helper. John 16:7 declares, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper would not come to you. But mm-hmm. if I go, I will
Thank
send
you,
him to you."
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's Jesus. Oh, if you look in your Bible and you reading right now, you will see, if you got the old-time King James Version, you will see all of that is in red, because that's
yeah.
something Jesus himself said.
Yeah.
But in saying that, when I think of the Holy Spirit, this is how I primarily think of him. God with us and in us, helping and empowering us to live a flourishing life that actually radiates the love and the goodness of God. How about that? Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit helps us to do, saints of God. I just praise him for that.
Amen.
I praise him for that. Now, I don't know about you, but I keep it, as the young people say, I keep it 100. I keep it transparent. I keep it real. I don't know about you, but I am constantly aware of my need of the Holy Spirit. Because, see, my flesh will fight for control in the face of adversity when you know it's for no other reason than the color of your skin. It fights for control when people lie on you and misuse you and deceive you. Your flesh will fight for control, but it is the Holy Spirit that steps in and
Amen.
Helps me to remain who God created me to be. See, I don't let other people take me out of my character, because I'm always calling on help from the Holy Spirit. Because I want to be who God created me to be. So when any of us are feeling powerless or tired or like we're failing at life, we can all have the confidence as believers that we're not alone. We can
Amen.
Start each and every day knowing that the Holy Spirit is going to be right there to help us, because He is the power that sustains, energizes,
yeah.
and keeps us on that holy path. So, saints of God, don't hesitate to call on him anytime, anywhere, okay, for any situation.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit also sanctifies us. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians 6:11. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, sanctified simply means set apart for God's use.
Yeah.
Or it's set apart to be as sacred. Essentially, it's the purification of sin and spiritually maturing to become more, what? Christ-like.
Amen.
See, this is an important process for a believer. We have to be about leaving behind that old stuff and becoming a new person. But you need to remember, it's going to be a daily process. It takes time. Yes, we know that the Word of God declares and decrees that if any man be in Christ, he be a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But they still become new over time. Hallelujah. Because before our hearts was convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit, we were enemies of God. We were doing our own thing. We were living our own way. So the Holy Spirit wants to help us in this process of sanctification. It is the Holy Spirit that helps us die to that old sin man and be all that God created us to be. To be free from the entanglement of sin and to live that abundant, victorious life.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit makes us more like Jesus.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 3:18. I told you, we were going precept upon precept, and we're going to get through it until the Lord, and we're going to do it until the Lord says stop. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, you can't get much plainer than that, sports fan. Okay? We are being transformed. We are being moved from glory to glory. Moses experienced God's glory on the mountaintop. But you see, we, hallelujah, have the privilege to communicate and be in communion with the Holy Spirit every day. The theologian Warren Wiersbe, he had this to say, and I quote him, Moses reflected the glory of God, but you and I, we can radiate the glory of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that is a phenomenal, awesome thought, that we can actually radiate the glory of God. And how do we do that? When we meditate on God's word, and when in it we see God's Son, then the Spirit transforms us. If you want to know about Jesus, then you must read the Bible, the basic instructions before leaving earth. And if you know about Jesus, then you know he is also the Logos. Logos meaning the living word of God.
Yeah.
So the more of God's word that we know, and the more of his Son that we see and we emulate, the Holy Spirit transforms us, and we become more like Jesus Christ, and we grow, as the Word of God says, from glory to glory.
Yeah.
You see, our goal should always be Christ-likeness, and this can only take place through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, while we focused on sanctification and the diminishment of sin in the previous points, this is rather about the transformation into the image of God. Hallelujah. That is the tag scripture for this entire ministry. Be ye transformed. Be ye transformed into the likeness of Christ, not into the likeness of Bishop Cook, not into the likeness of Apostle Zeta, not into the likeness of Pastor Lester, but be ye transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit also helps us to do our Heavenly Father's will. Acts 8:29 simply says this, then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. And throughout the New Testament, we can see the Holy Spirit direct people to do the will of God. And he helps us to tune in to the voice of the Father and in faith do what we believe he is telling us to do. So we should always be asking the Holy Spirit to show us what the Father's will is. And not for, and I mean, we don't even have to, you know, get long term. Just ask, you know, because tomorrow's not promised. Just get in the habit of asking the Holy Spirit to show you what the Father's will is for you today. And then ask him to empower you to carry it out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit also does a wonderful thing, because he gifts us for ministry. 1 Corinthians 12. Verses 4-11. We're going through the whole thing. Yes, we are. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us.
Right.
A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one another, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives, the same Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. And still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is still given the ability to interpret what is being said.
Amen.
It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. And he alone decides which gift each of us should have. I know that people love to tell us where they think we ought to be serving. You know, maybe we have a beautiful voice, and they think, oh, you need to be in the choir. Or maybe we have a nice smile, and they say, oh, maybe you should be an usher. I think you have the gift of hospitality. Let me explain something to you. What gifts we are going to have. And when he makes his call, it's not a conference call. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit imparts to every believer gifts that are needed in the body of Christ. And nobody receives all the gifts, but they are distributed among the body of Christ, each person receiving different gifts. And the gifts that we will receive will empower us for the calling God has placed on our life. So if you are a blood-washed believer, you should embrace what God has put inside of you, and you should be an instrument for his kingdom purpose. Ephesians 4 and 11 through 12 says this, very, very, very popular scripture. And it says, and he gave some apostles, here comes the gifts, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
See, not only does he gift us, we become the gifts that keep giving because we are going to be sharing Christ. Now watch this. Romans 12, 4 through 9 says this. And this further lets me know this is not about us. This is about God, and we are all in this thing together because Romans 12, 4 through 9 declares and decrees, hallelujah, for as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And he that ruleth with diligence, he showeth mercy with cheerfulness.
Right.
Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to what is good.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And you know how we do that? Because the Holy Spirit imparts love. First,
yes.
He imparts that love into us for God. Hallelujah. He says, because it says in Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says this, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, huh? And endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not, I repeat, does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hallelujah. We find love in our suffering. As we endure God's, as we endure God's trials, we can know that God's love is poured out unto us through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And it's this kind of love that we are going to need in order to truly do the work of the kingdom.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit also imparts a love that helps us to love others as God loves them. 1 John 4:7-8 declares, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Yeah.
And then in John 13:34-35, we read these words, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit gives us that kind of love that we need. Hallelujah. The kind of love that helps us to reverence God, to fear God, to love God. See, to love God is to keep his commandments. And it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to do that.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit also gives us another wonderful thing, hope. Romans 15:13 tells us this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And I'm not talking about some kind of wishy-washy hope. I'm talking about hope as God hopes.
Yeah.
And this is only possible in abundance through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's hope that carries us through trials and tribulations. It is hope that fuels our soul in those darkest hours. It is hope, hallelujah,
yeah,
that keeps us going, because our hope is not in man. Our hope is in the Lord. So we need to tap into that power and learn how to experience peace in every surrounding. And then the Holy Spirit teaches us and he gives us insight. John 14:26 declares, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. It's a wonderful thing to know that it's the, you know, we don't have to sit up and worry about memorizing every verse of the Bible. Okay. Once we have learned that principle, once we are living that word, hallelujah, that word becomes grafted on the fleshy tables of our heart. Anytime we need that word, the Holy Spirit will bring that, he will bring up scripture, chapter and verse.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit will give us insight into what we are reading. You know, before we start reading our word, we should say, Holy Spirit, please open my eyes. Please help me to understand. And he will. And he will help us to recall everything that we've read in scripture. Why? Because he brings our mind into the understanding of truth. Have you ever had some moments where you were in a situation and a scripture verse just kind of popped into your head. You was all, you know, and you might have memorized it when you was a little kid. You know, you read it a long time, but that scripture was the very scripture you needed to encourage your soul in that moment.
Amen.
That was the Holy Spirit reminding you of what you've already been taught. You know, you might be feeling like you're going under for the third time. You're drowning. And you will hear a soft voice whisper in your ear, "You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves you." Or you might hear, "Cast your cares upon him, for he loves you." And I don't know about you, but I love it when he, you know, I know when I just love it when I know I'm learning a lesson from the Holy, directly from the Holy Spirit, because he empowers me with the understanding and the ability to recall that thing. See, walk in victory over a few things and you will remember that you are more than a conqueror very quickly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let God bring you through some stuff. Hallelujah. And it won't be hard for you to remember, "Lord, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't praise you enough." Or that your praises shall continually be in my mouth. And you know what else the Holy Spirit really wants to do for us? And I think if we really just yielded to him, he would really, 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 really help the situation out. He guides our prayers, as declared in Romans 8:26. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." Here I go again, being transparent. There have been situations and times in my life that I just didn't have any words. Or if I didn't have any words, I had so many things that I wanted to say, I wasn't even sure where to start. Have you ever experienced that? I mean,
Amen.
You just keep looking at all this stuff, you're like, "Oh, Lord, Jesus," you just want to, it just makes you want to holler. It just makes you want to throw up your hands, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we just don't have the right words. But glory to God, the Holy Spirit always knows just what to say.
Yes,
so when we don't know what to say, lean on him and allow him to express to the Father what needs to be said.
Yes,
and the last point that I'm going to share with us for tonight is that the Holy Spirit uses us for evangelism. Just as I did, alluded to earlier in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You see, telling others about Jesus and making disciples is our most important role that we will ever have on the face of this earth. It's literally the last thing that Jesus said before he ascended into heaven.
Yeah.
Now, having the Holy Spirit with us means having power to be a witness. And not only will we be witnesses, but we will be effective witnesses when we tell people about what Jesus did for us and what he will do for them on the cross and how he conquered death and he now reigns victoriously at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So, saints of God, we can't shy away from being an advocate for Christ. Why? Because it's what we were called to do. So allow the Holy Spirit to empower you for the kingdom purpose of making disciples.
Yes.
You know, being blessed with the privilege of ministering in many different churches and prisons over the years, I can say with confidence that God is doing a great deal in the life of his church. Now, there seems to be such an increase in expectation and hunger and a desperate desire for more. We're finding that people are churched out They just want to hear the word of God. And these are, you know, they want to see the foundational works of grace that are the keys to seeing the manifested power of God in the church. And they want to see it to a much greater degree.
Yeah.
But for us to truly see the outworking of God's manifested power in our lives and in the life of the church, it is imperative that we walk by faith and not by sight, and we walk in the Spirit so that we can effectively obey Acts 1 and 8. Yeah. And how can we be witnesses to a dying world without the Holy Spirit? How can we move from one degree of glory to the next without the Holy Spirit? How can we live naturally supernatural lives without the Holy Spirit? The truth is, we can't. It is impossible.
Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 speaks of life when we are left to our fleshy nature. It says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Isn't that what we're seeing in the church today?
Amen.
We hear people saying they're praying, but we don't see nobody getting to, you know, we don't hear the testimonies of people being delivered. You know, what? You know, oh, we hear them brag about their new cars and their new homes. And if they, you know, and if they remember where they're at, they might go ahead and put that tack on, and Jesus paid it all at the end. After they done told you everything about this new house and this new car and how hard they worked for it. You know, people just run around, don't like somebody, and decide to start rumors. People losing their mind, road rage, you know, can't even drive down the street and look at somebody without them getting mad. And some people are dying.
Yes.
So, saints of God, if we desire more of God, it is crucial that we live our lives unto Jesus by walking in the Spirit, by being in tune with the Spirit. And this truth can completely change our Christian life, and it is essential to living a full, abundant life that God is calling us to live. As we believe God is bringing us into a new season, we now more than ever need to grasp this truth at the deepest level as individuals and as the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I mean, if we want to see, you know, we've got to do what we need to do. And most of us would agree that we can so easily slip into a place of thanking God for what he has done in the past. But then we get real stiff-necked and we resist what he is doing right now in the present.
Yes.
And by doing that, we develop a form of godliness, but we resist in practice the power of the Holy Spirit to effect ongoing change in us or through us.
Yeah.
Let us remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 and 20. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And since we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. That's what he told the folks in Galatians 5 and 25.
Yeah.
See, pleasing God is not a matter of doing good rather than doing bad. But it's about doing the will of God and not our own. That's what it's about. That's what it's about.
Amen.
You know, that's what we really got to get down in our spirit. What we refer to as walking in the spirit is simply being sensitive or in tune to the leading of the Holy Spirit and doing God's will, his will, rather than our own. And the Holy Spirit will always point us to Jesus and his will. You know, because I know, you know, we're, hey, some of us are really, are, you know, creative and we're really smart and, you know, we often get really good ideas. But it's sometimes those very same good ideas that take us out of the will of God.
That's right.
For example, and this is just an example, okay, we might want to give somebody a sizable gift of cash. Because it is, after all, biblical to give. But see, God might be doing something in that person that your giving would hinder. Maybe that person would see your giving not as you being biblical and obedient to God, but as a means to an end, when they should be looking to God for that. A part of the process of learning to hear God and learning to walk in the Spirit, you know, we might sometimes need to run those good ideas past somebody else that perhaps is more mature in the Lord. Or if we have a big decision to make, maybe you want to do what I do. You know, I call people that I trust, like Apostle Zeta and other members of the network, and I talk to them and pray with them and ask them to pray with me.
Amen.
So that I can be in, you know, because all I want to do is allow the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do in me so that I can do what I need to do for God. So this concludes part one of our teaching on the Holy Spirit for tonight. And I just want to praise God and thank you for your attention. Hallelujah. And we are going to pick up next week. We're going to go in depth about what it means to be in tune or to walk by with the Holy Spirit or to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But right now, I know that Apostle Zeta is in the house with me, and I want to give her an opportunity to speak, reiterate some points. And if any of you would like to have a word, hallelujah, if you are in our studio, all you need to do is press your 1, and that will let me know that you would like to add your praise, put a praise on it, or you might have a comment or question. I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. But before I do that, I'm going to allow Apostle Zeta to come on in and tag team. And perhaps if you don't have a comment or question or praise now, when she is finished, you just might have one. Amen. Apostle Zeta, you're welcome to come on into the room.
And, well, I won't have a whole lot to say because you were so prepared and so thorough with everything that you shared and, you know, all of the wonderful scriptures that just backed up the whole lesson on tonight. It was just
Amen.
So touched on the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, you know.
Yes,
when
ma'am.
We see the Holy Spirit in us, we can then walk in the Spirit, walk by the
yes,
Spirit.
Yes, ma'am.
Trust him to guide us, you know.
That's good.
Teach us, you know. Many times, I know myself, there's been times that, you know, I get to a place where I just need to have a little bit more, and the Holy Spirit will come in and fill that in for you. But, you know, that happens because it's already in us. So that comes through, Bishop Shirlene was saying earlier, studying, really getting into your word, you know, really studying, because there will be something in there already that will be brought out.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's just, well, he, like you said, he's our helper. He's our helper. We can count on him. That's why he was given. When when Jesus left the earth. Yes, he made that promise.
Yes, ma'am.
So we have him. We have him, as she said, the third member of the Trinity. So
yes,
we are so blessed. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We are truly covered. Praise God. And I thank the Lord for how you brought out the fact that, you know, in reference to Acts 1 and 8, that through our knowledge of the Holy Spirit and knowing who he is, you know, and knowing that he dwells within us, you know, helps us and stirs us up. And like she said, prepares us for evangelism, which is so needed.
Yes. Yes, so needed. Oh, you're doing beautiful. You can read. You can go ahead, though. You don't have to cut yourself off. You keep going until the Holy Ghost say stop.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was just thinking about Ephesians 4. You know, Paul, hearing here in the fourth chapter, says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, and I believe you mentioned that earlier, and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's where that love comes in. You know, we must have that. You know, we can't reach.
Amen. That's right.
Praise God, because we receive that through Jesus Christ. And she said, he proved how much he loved us. Hallelujah. And so we must love others as well. Praise God. And it says, endeavoring to keep the unity. You know, when we operate by the gifts that he has put in us and the callings and all of that, we must be walking in love. You know, we can't share with someone about and loved all of us so deeply that he died for all of us. We can't share that if we are not bearing the love of Jesus Christ within ourselves.
Speak
Amen.
On it.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it says there is one body and one spirit, even as
That's
you are
right.
called to one hope. There's that hope again that she was talking about.
Yes, amen.
Praise God.
Beautiful.
Hallelujah.
Yes, that's beautiful.
I enjoy it. Enjoy the lesson.
Thank you, Jesus. And I want to thank you, Apostle Zeta. Apostle Zeta is a wonderful woman of God. She is the founder of All Nations Christian Fellowship, and she has a Bible study right here on the Spirit Alive Network every first and third Wednesday night. And she is a phenomenal teacher, as you can tell from her responses. She is a phenomenal teacher in her own right. And if you want to go deeper in the Word of God, then please join her on Wednesday nights, the first and third Wednesday of every month, for All Nations Wednesday Night Bible Study, because I tell you, I have been in the Word for a while, but she brings the Word, precept upon precept, and I tell you, that's when I know that the Holy Spirit is truly at work, because I can always, what I love about the Holy Spirit, he is constantly revealing more and more and more of who God is to you, especially when it is brought to you by someone who is spirit-filled. So, you know, I always encourage our new converts to join a Christ-centered, hallelujah, church where they do believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, because we need the Holy Spirit on the daily if we are to live victoriously in this world, if we are to have that abundant life. Mother Apostle Zeta and I often have long conversations about, you know, how it seems that so many Christians seem to be waiting for that abundant life. Like, we're supposed to just muddle our way through down here, and then everything, you know, then all this abundance is going to come at the end. But that's not what Christ said in John 10:10.
Right.
He said, I came so that you might have life and might have life more abundantly. He means right now.
Yes, that's right.
You know,
right.
We can be abundantly victorious. We can be abundantly hopeful. We can be abundantly joyful. We need to be abundantly prayerful. We can be abundantly infused with the Word of God by studying His Word to show ourselves approved.
Yeah.
When we pray according to the Word of God, we have power to move mountains with just the faith of a mustard seed.
Yeah.
That's abundance of power.
Yeah.
You know, if we tell a mountain to move from here to over there, hallelujah, by the power of the Spirit of God, it shall move. Just like He hovered, He was brooding over the waters and over the earth, you know. And then God said, let there be, and there was. See, that was the Holy Spirit bringing into, bringing reconciliation, bringing, hallelujah, renewal, bringing regeneration to the world right then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
That same Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
And He wants to do that for us. Yes. But we must remember it is a process. I truly believe that so many of us have a form of godliness, but we still deny the power. So we're going around with a church mask on. We're going around with a Christian costume on.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hollow on the inside. We're a good hot mess on the inside. You know, some of us have learned how to mimic what it looks and sounds like to be walking with God. But yet they're denying His power. You know, they hide behind the beautiful suits and hats. They roll up in the beautiful chariots. They let everybody see them give a whole bunch of money. And they think they all right. While they have done all this, they haven't listened to one word that the Holy Spirit has uttered to them. Because if they did or they had, they could not possibly remain in bondage when they know that they have already been set free by Jesus on that cross at Calvary. There is no way that if you are a blood-washed believer endowed by the power of the Holy Spirit, there is no way that you're going to walk around murmuring and complaining and being sick all the time.
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit instills in us, it's the Holy Spirit that instills in us that joy. The joy of knowing that you got a revelation about God's Word. The joy of knowing that you're walking in God's Word. Therefore, you're pleasing God. Hallelujah. That peace, the Holy Spirit instills that peace that surpasses all understanding. You know, it's that peace that comes from knowing that you are trusting and depending on God, power of His Spirit, and not yourself.
Amen.
You know, it's time for the church to get herself in order and get herself in tune with the Holy Ghost, with that third person in that triune God. It is time for us to stop playing church and to actually be the church according to the Spirit of the Most High God. It is time for us to be obedient to God by hearing the voice, hallelujah, of the Most High God. Because, see, the one thing you need to know and understand, the Holy Spirit can't tell you nothing unless it comes straight from God.
Amen.
That's it. He
Amen.
Is God.
Yes.
So everything he said comes directly from God the Father.
Mm.
Filtered through Christ Jesus and manifested by the Spirit. Now, how about that?
Yes.
So
Amen.
I just pray that on tonight that I have shared who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit really wants to do for us in a way that we will take a closer look and we will be able to feel when his presence. You know,
right.
You can feel when you're in the presence of God. You can just feel
Amen.
It. You just know it.
Yeah.
You know, when he's trying to warn you or tell you something or to go a different way, you can feel it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And then don't turn around and see where, you know, if you would have got on that bus, you would have been in that bus wreck. Or if you would have went out with your friends, you would have died in that car accident.
Yeah.
And you begin to shout and praise and thank God for his goodness, because there is nothing more powerful than a praise of thanksgiving.
Amen. Amen.
That's when you know that you know that you know that you know it wasn't nobody but God.
Amen.
Nobody but God. So, saints of God, again, I wanna thank you for listening. Apostle Zeta, dearest mother, mentor, teacher, sister, friend, I want to thank you for always being faithful and always stepping in to, you know, just reiterate some important points, because we do have a lot of people that take notes. So I always appreciate you coming in and doing a nice summary and put a little, you always put the Holy Ghost bow on the package, you know. So I really do appreciate that. And we just pray that you were blessed by this teaching. Join me next week, and we will be going into part two, and we will begin to actually talk about what it means to walk in the Spirit, what that looks like, and we will just continue on. It is my fervent prayer also that you continue to walk with us here at the Spirit Alive Network, because we indeed have something for everyone. Tomorrow night, please join Pastor Lester Carver at 11 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for his Tuesday night teaching, Glory to God. And like I said, on third Wednesdays, you can always hear Apostle Zeta Flowers at the Wednesday night Bible study at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you have no place to worship, you are always welcome to join us here on the Spirit Alive Network each and every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, and 12 noon Eastern Standard Time for the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience.
Yeah.
So we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Thank you so much. God bless you, Mom. I'll be
Amen.
Calling in a minute.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.